E2i Design is a full solutions provider for all things audio, video, lighting, and broadcast. Whether it be design, installation, or offering gear for a great price, E2i Design supports you by providing the right tools for the job. Look them up on Facebook or Instagram at E2i Design, or visit their website, e2idesign.com. Each year, one in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or another dementia. More than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and in 2020, COVID-19 contributed to a 17% increase in Alzheimer's and dementia deaths. It kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. In 2022, Alzheimer's and other dementias will cost the nation $321 billion. By 2050, these costs could rise to nearly $1 trillion. That's where you come in. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is an annual effort to raise awareness, defray costs, and increase research funding of this deadly disease. Get involved by starting a walk team today. It's free and just might save a life. Find out more at ALZ.org. That's ALZ.org. Episode 405 of the Motor City HDJ podcast is titled Hashtag Wedfest, or Do You Like to Do It Yourself? It is a very special, very supersized episode with my friends Lauren and John. And they were here to talk about the DIY wedding because it is growing in popularity these days. It allows couples more control over the whole wedding experience, but it can come with frustrations and obstacles. However, most people that plan DIY weddings say they wouldn't change a thing. So I had my friends over. They are an amazing couple that my wife and I feel could quite possibly be the world's foremost experts on planning the DIY wedding. They crafted, Lauren and John crafted, one of the most memorable and epic wedding weekends we have ever attended. And I was super thrilled they were actually to be with me in person and that they decided to join me to talk about how they pulled it off. We talked about everything. You're going to hear that here in just a moment. E2i Design, they sponsor this podcast. Visit their website, e2idesign.com, or on social media at E2i Design. Hashtag Wedfest, or Do You Like to Do It Yourself? With my friends Lauren and John, episode 405 of the Motor City HDJ podcast starts right now. We finally made it work. We're here together today.
Yeah. We rescheduled, what, twice?
I mean, it happens. We get busy. People get busy and people get sick and 'tis the season, so.
Right.
But in the spirit of full disclosure, definitely biased about you two people, for sure. People won't get to hear, but just our conversation before this about being with you on your wedding day, and that's obviously why you're here. But I have to gush for a minute, obviously, because, and there's so many monikers for you, man. John, JR, JT, yeah. TJ, RJ, I don't even know, they all go, but no, John was, you were in my wedding.
I was.
And we've been friends ever since, oh my gosh, years ago.
2009,
we spent time together working on, which is now recently retired,
right,
The Glory of Christmas there at Northridge Church. And of course, Lauren, I met you. We were just talking about it up in Traverse City. I think that was the first time. Tail end of COVID, had some weddings. You're there. We're there. Oh my gosh. And Brianna was able to meet you for the first time too. And I shared this during your karaoke night beer exchange the night before the big day. But what struck me the most was that Brianna, who was six, going on seven at the time, having just met you, Lauren, specifically, just reached up and grabbed your hand. And we all started walking from, naturally, the brewery, because let's go. That's our love, folks. We love a good brew. but something about that, to me, immediately said, these people are perfect for each other. Because your heart, just the warmth of your spirit and your soul. And like I said, it's a gush fest, so get out the Kleenex. But it does. It just speaks to your heart and your character because, you know, most kids won't do. And my girls are a little different because they are dads, like we were just talking about. They've got that personality. They'll talk to anybody, but not always everybody. And so you're good people. I just want you to know that on record, recorded in several different places to make sure we don't miss a beat here. I mean, I could go on and on about how amazing you are, and I think we will, but tomorrow, you're going on your honeymoon tomorrow?
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. Okay, I didn't want you to miss the plane just in case, but I do want you to tell the story because that's the whole thing here. We're talking about Wedfest, hashtag Wedfest. That's what we're here for, and I want you to tell your story of how you two met. So I always do this, by the way, in consultations. And I want you, John, to start with how you met her.
We have arguably the greatest story of how we met of any couple that's ever met in the history of meeting. So the story starts with Lauren and I are big fans of the band, the Avett Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And her and I had spent a handful of years just kind of traveling around show to show, kind of checking out the Avett Brothers and made friends on the road along the way. Fast forward to 2019, I started following the Avett Brothers. My first show was in 2011 in Colorado and seen them 30 some odd times until 2019. And one of my friends, his name's Wes. Shout out to Wes.
Who spoke at
the wedding. Yeah. I'd become friends with Wes and his girlfriend, Kelly. And Wes was trying to get me to go to a New Orleans show to see the Avett Brothers for St. Patty's 2019. And for whatever reason, I remember just not wanting to go. Like, New Orleans was just, like, for whatever reason, never on my list. I wasn't like, I gotta go to Mardi Gras or anything like that. It was never on my radar. And Wes just would not, I mean, literally would not give up. He would text me, sometimes call. I mean, for, let's say, better part of like 6 months. Like, are you going? Are you going? Do you get a ticket yet? Are you going? You got to come. Mm-hmm. St. Patty's in New Orleans. You got to come. I was just like, no, I'm good. And then at some random point along the way, he was texting me again, maybe like, I don't know, say like a month. Like February of 2019.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's kind of what it was, because I think the weather was really lousy. It's like, all right, it'd be good to get away, you know, go see the tropical climate of New Orleans. Went ahead and bought myself a ticket, flight down there, yada, yada. Had some good times at the New Orleans St. Patty's Parade, and then went to an Avett Brothers show, and we had general floor or general admission, like seats or whatever, standing room on the floor, pretty close to the stage, and Lauren and some of her friends happened to be on my left on the GA floor, and we just struck up a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren, what, you hand me your beer, right?
He held my beer. Or no, you held my spot so I could go get a beer.
That's right.
Yeah. And he didn't, like, take my rail spot.
Yeah.
So true.
I kind of, like, spread out and...
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Avett fans, like, you didn't take my spot on the rail.
Right. Like, yeah.
I didn't even bring you back a beer.
Crisscross applesauce, just like spread out. And held her spot and just got to talking. And by the end of that night, or was it the end of the second night, we exchanged numbers?
No, we exchanged numbers that night. And then we met back up the second night because I wasn't going the second night and I bought a ticket. So we hung out twice.
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah. We hit it off and decided that, you know, a long distance romance.
Well, there we go.
That's what I wanted to get to next.
But you made me go to Atlanta the same way Wes and made you go to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. You were being the persistent one then.
Mm. Yeah, because that was November. Yeah, November of 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Avis were playing in Atlanta, Georgia for a couple nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, like, I'm going to go because that's where Wes and Kelly live in the Atlanta area. So I was going to, like, go and hang out with them and just wouldn't let Lauren take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The long distance thing, though, I remember, and forgive me because I don't know much of that. I just know that one day my friend was miserable because he didn't have the right person in his life. And then the next day, we're like, oh my gosh, who's this girl? You know, so that, and obviously, you know, we were all miserable until we find that perfect person. And clearly that was you, because the long distance thing, from what I learned even through hashtag WedFest, you were in New Orleans. You were living in New Orleans. You were living up here, John.
Yep.
Long distance.
Plymouth, Michigan.
Yeah, Plymouth, Michigan. well, yeah, Plymouth, Massachusetts. No. So the two of you were doing the long distance thing. That's impossible for some people. But you did it. You made it work. And then he asks you to marry him. How did he do it?
When he did, I had already moved up here. We had to be long distance.
Got it.
Kind of by force because COVID.
Yeah.
So we were only together for 4 minutes, or not 4 minutes, 4 months. 4 months before COVID happened. And then we had to spend like the next 6 months apart. But, and then I ended up moving up here because I got a job up here. But then in 2021, as we do, you know, we got tickets to go see the Avett Brothers in my hometown in Asheville, where we got married.
Yes.
And for him to, like, meet my family, meet all my brothers. So we went down there for that trip. And he didn't apparently want to propose at an Avett concert. Apparently that was a very big deal breaker for him.
Because I'd seen it done a million times. at the shows I've gone to. And
the irony of it is he said he wanted to do it that Thursday. So we put the ring in his pocket that Thursday, and he had no idea where we were going or what we were doing that day. But at some point, we decided around sunset to go on a hike off the Blue Ridge Parkway at a place called Craggy Pinnacle, which has a very gorgeous view of you know, Asheville. And it was kind of rainy the whole way up. So nobody was really up there. And we get to the top. It's stunning. If you know, anybody ever wants to drive.
I've been to North Carolina
before. We'll get to that. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we get to the top of the mountain. And
there, there are other people there.
Yeah. But this, you know, the rain stopped. And all of a sudden, this fog kind of cleared. And the sun came out. And turned it around. And like, he's down on one knee. And neither of us remember what he said. Because we...
I have no idea what I said.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know blacked I said yes, out. But that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 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 A non-alcohol blackout. nerves blackout.
Nerves blackout.
Man, I learned something new today. Well, we saw the pictures. I mean, obviously, we all saw the pictures, and we knew that it happened. But to know the story, just again, it paints the picture of every couple that I work with. And it's weird because for some, it's people find me and I just do a thing. I love what I do, and each couple is important to me, but, you know, especially when there's that little bit of context there. Now to know your story even more, golly, just to connect with that story in that way, it's, come on, of course, the clouds parted, the sun shone down, you know, stupid.
Yeah.
Couldn't have planned it any better.
I mean, it's, but
except
it's,
you
it's,
didn't
it's,
plan it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You couldn't have not planned it any better or whatever. Double negative there.
It's wild because like the way that we met is like it sounds like something out of like a movie script. You know, the way that we met and the way that day turned out on this very picturesque thing where the sun the clouds parted and the sun came out, and it's just like like our movie script kept being written.
JT, like, would we call you a JT movie guy? Anyway, that
I don't
was
know
a
who
horrible,
that guy is.
So I'm looking at my notes.
I do fancy myself a film or two.
I love
Has
the
he
fact
told you
that
he was an 8 Mile.
yeah. I love the fact that the 13 people that listen to this will not have any idea. No, this is the best part of it is the story for me. I mean, the party. Of course, that's. We talk about the actual DIY experience. That's why we're doing this. But the story, the connection to get to that point, that's the most important part to me. So all the fun stuff we got to do, all the beer we drank, all the amazing food, amazing company, like none of that matters to me except the story and the two of you. And so I guess at this point, Lauren, so now we get into planning mode. I mean, I'm not asking facetiously, and truly I don't know. Between the two of you, who is the planner? Who's more type A about planning things?
Lauren, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hands down.
So she was all over it. You're all over it. Getting this thing together.
Yes. However, what I will say is JR wanted to be a part of all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some times where I thought it would be easier for me to just kind of sit in a dark room and just get it done. But he really wanted to be involved every step of the way. And making those decisions. So it kind of became me being like, all right, wedding coach, like, you gotta sit down. You gotta do it today. Because he wanted to be, but.
I mean, I don't know the balance of like how many people do a wedding and do it at a venue with someone that's gonna coordinate and do the whole thing versus how many people do DIY. I just know the DIY weddings are taking off. More people go, I want control of the whole experience. I guess at what point, Lauren, did you have that conversation about, let's do this our way?
I think there never was really another option than that. I think we both, not that there's anything at all wrong with having a hall wedding or, you know, a one-day wedding, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But we had, you know, a vision that we wanted to be able to pick and choose things that were important to us that fit our values. Supporting local is very important to us. Sustainability is very important to us. And so we wanted to be able to really lean into our choices. And I think the only way to really do that is to kind of have that do-it-yourself wedding. You can still use vendors who are going to be really helpful to you. You don't have to do everything yourself, but rather than just going for, you know, an all-inclusive in Mexico where everything is just there and you show up, which is some people's vibe. That totally. Just isn't our vibe.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever really the option for us to do the latter.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, I think of a DIY wedding as being just that kind of completely stripped down of the conventional stuff that you would normally have to plan when you do a wedding by the book. And obviously I've been a part of quite a few DIY weddings over the years. And I guess the common thread to me is that you really just find a place for people to do the DIY. They find a place for the ceremony and the reception. And then you have to do everything else. You have to do the rest of these things. And so to bring everybody up to speed, I talked about it briefly on a previous episode of the show, but you two rented out a summer camp.
Yep.
For your wedding weekend. Not just a day.
Wedding weekend.
Wedding weekend, immortalized now on social media as and the internet as hashtag WedFest. So let's talk about Camp Tonawanda for a moment.
Okay.
When you asked me to be part of your day and told me where the wedding would be, my very first thought, nothing else other than this spot is perfect for the two of you. And I had no idea about anything other, the plan, the things that I'm normally type A about, like advising you on to, certain things to do, none of that. It was just kind of like, okay, get me there. Tell me what to do. So what was it about Camp Tonawanda in Hendersonville, North Carolina, that checked all those boxes for you as the place that you had to have your big day?
Jonathan had one non-negotiable and I had several. So it was actually JR's idea to do a summer camp. We were looking at breweries. We were looking at Kellogg Park in Plymouth. We were looking at all kind of blank slate places. And then one day we were on the internet and Jonathan saw summer camp. So we went in that direction.
It was just some random article. I was just Googling stuff because we were both trying to find our place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're just Googling stuff. And I saw someone wrote an article about, this is fun to do like a DIY thing for a summer camp wedding.
And it was really important to us to be able to not only have just a one-day wedding, but have kind of a wedding weekend because we are from two opposite ends of the country and our people are spread out everywhere. So we wanted to be able to bring people together. Also, we want them all to be able to stay on site if we can for a lot of reasons I'm sure we'll get into. So we were looking at summer camps up here in Michigan and also in North Carolina where I'm from. We wanted one that we didn't have to use all of their vendors. A lot of the ones up here required to use their catering. You know, they don't necessarily allow alcohol at a lot of the ones here.
Yep.
You know, you just kind of had to go in and get their package. And the same with a lot of the ones in North Carolina, including one we considered that was right next door to Tonawanda. But Tonawanda kind of gives you the key when you get there on Friday and just takes it back on Sunday. They have people there on site if you have emergencies. And we certainly had some things come up, but they are, you know, a gorgeous place that has the waterfront, that has the cabins, had a really stunning dining hall right over a waterfall that was just very beautiful. And we didn't want to do a ton of decor. So having all of that was important.
Right.
And so we actually booked it sight unseen. But I'm sure Jonathan wants to tell you the most important thing to him.
The blob?
The blob.
Yeah. Was it really?
It was.
No.
Yeah. So once we were kind of like dialing it into like, hey, we can do like a weekend long summer camp wedding. Like I remembered the 80s or no 90s film Heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are familiar, there's a very iconic scenes of them doing the blob jump into the lake. I was like, it'd be so cool to find a summer camp that has one of those. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that Heavyweights was partially filmed at Camp Tonawanda. So I know.
It's primarily filmed at the camp next door, but that is one that requires you to use their catering.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had emergencies, really? What?
No, just like the ice machine stopped working.
Oh my gosh, the ice machine. That was the topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Ice machine. Oh, that and the Wi-Fi, right? Talking about guys.
Yeah.
So all right. Speed up your Wi-Fi out here.
Yeah. So we were talking about that on the way here. If there's a negative about the camp.
I get it.
That was like the only thing, which like, who cares?
Doesn't matter. You should be unplugged anyway.
Correct.
Right? You're at a camp.
Correct. Yeah. So like there was, you know, the coverage just in the camp itself was spotty and the Wi-Fi wasn't the fastest. So like if there's one negative to what we did, that's it. But like, who cares?
I know.
People
came and had a great time for a weekend out in the woods.
That's the thing is it really, especially the first night, because of the way, and of course, I'm not fully equipped to do karaoke, but absolutely, you tell me I got an idea, I'm like, I got it. We're going to make it work. We did. It was great. But that required, you know, being able to download stuff on the spot and have things. But yeah, it shouldn't matter. And
it worked out.
Right.
But it did. And for me, it was absolutely brilliant and amazing and so fun. And no one remembers anything Friday night.
For good reason.
And Saturday night. That campfire. Let me tell you, them campfires are magical, kids. We're going to leave that alone right there.
We heard how late people were there. We were long gone.
Yeah. I think I heard some.
I know you were. I get it. Yeah. Because I remember telling you to leave the campfire because you were ready tired. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we heard the fire was going till like 4 a.m., something like that.
What? Yeah. There they are stumbling. Well, we'll get into Sunday because that's part of this whole thing too. But there are two schools of thought on whether or not couples should hire like a wedding planner or a day of coordinator, because a DIY is cool in theory. I guess the one thing I see people experience when they do a DIY is just the anxiety and the, it's all on my shoulders, I got to do this myself. There is no reason a bride or groom should be on their day worried about any sort of planning elements. But then to hand it off to aunt
so-and-so.
Which we were.
I mean, it happens. But,
yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. But just in general, like, if you're going to do a DIY wedding, you know, with other weddings like that, yeah, you shouldn't feel the anxiety and weight of that. And it's hard to just trust aunt so-and-so. And I know it adds to the expense to pay a coordinator, but also gives you access to someone who has a little expertise, especially Michigan, North Carolina, having to plan it that way. You know, you're 647 miles away from where the party's going to be. So when did you decide you were going to need...
Was that a ballpark number? Or did you...
You know what happens is, typically, I just pulled that out of thin air. I think you know better than now. My little type A heart, he might have Googled that one. when did you decide you needed boots on the ground to help you out with the details there in North Carolina?
That was the first decision we made.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm offended.
Well, I mean,
it should have been the second. No, I'm kidding. I absolutely get it. Obviously, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first decision we made. You know, you're dealing with two families. You're dealing with friends from all over the place.
Yeah.
We knew that we were going to use a lot of vendors because we wanted to support local vendors and non-local vendors, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted somebody who was going to be able to help us. Katie from Catherine Rose's, she is a day of coordinator, but she steps in kind of 6 weeks before.
Sure.
And with us, she stepped in actually a little bit before that because we had some meetings with her ahead of time. And so she was kind of ideal for us in that she's not just going to show up the day of and just kind of be an extra body. She is going to be able to do that extra kind of work and kind of coaching and cheerleading for us a little bit. So she was wonderful.
As much as I've tried to remember every single thing about that weekend, which truly was, and I'm not just saying this to coddle, but in the 25 years that I have been doing this, there have been some memorable weddings, but legitimately, your wedding weekend is the greatest wedding experience I've ever had. And Rosanna said the same
thing. Please stop.
Please keep it going. No, Rosanna said the same thing because in the beginning, she would help me and do things. And it was just so wonderful and perfect and imperfect. And there were, you know, imperfect because there were things that didn't work out like you just said. But
perfect's boring.
It is boring.
Perfect's boring.
It is boring, but it was beautiful. And, you know, I know Katie had a big hand in making sure that your vision was seen. And you were there, were you there the week before or earlier in the week?
A few days before.
To get there?
Yeah.
So did you meet her like right when you got there or was it the Friday that we were there?
We met her when we went down.
Oh, okay.
We went down almost a year before just because we had never seen the camp. So
we're
like, let's go see the camp and meet with a bunch of our vendors. We met with Bryce from the beer truck. We wanted to just actually meet.
Shout out to Jack's 47.
Yeah.
We just wanted to meet our vendors. And so we went and met with Katie then ahead of time. And we'd been in contact with her. We had some Zoom calls like in the weeks leading up. that week of, we didn't physically see her until the day of, but we'd been in touch with her.
What things did you delegate to her right away? What did you say? I need you to do this because I can handle this. You need to do this.
She took over with all of our vendors the week or 2 weeks before the wedding. So she's the one who's like reaching out to them, making sure all final details are done. She did a lot of our decor. Like, we would bring it, and then she's who would actually physically put it out on the tables, try to find stuff because we had to fill out a lot of spreadsheets beforehand of, this is all of our stuff that's supposed to be in the ceremony site, reception site, so have you. And she would be who would physically put it there on the day of. And then things that didn't happen, just because I forget to do it, but things like giving out, you know, tips at the end of the night, stuff like that, was also things that she would do.
Yep.
Bringing us food during the wedding to try to make us eat, another thing that didn't happen. But she's,
which, you know, is a bummer there. Because, well,
that food was great.
I don't want to spoil. we're going to hit it in a minute here, but anytime you present the menu that you guys had, anytime I do a wedding where that's the menu, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm going to need an extra lisinopril for my sodium intake, my blood pressure. Was there something specific she advised you to do that stuck out to you? Like, oh my gosh, that makes total sense. Sounds like she was really helpful, but was there anything that just jumped out and you said, yeah, you know, I didn't think of that?
I'm trying to be as organized as possible.
Yeah.
She said that she had had weddings where people literally have unopened Amazon boxes of stuff and just hand them to her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that she's done. But, you know, and then the other end of the spectrum where everything is like in plastic totes and labeled by table. So you know, trying to get closer to that, and then the other would be helpful.
Yeah, there's no hiding it. Weddings are expensive. Weddings are super expensive. And, you know, the wedding and event industry, I feel as a whole, is bloated. It can be.
Sure.
The prices are always inflated because, you know, you can get it. Oh, well, I got to have that guy, so I'll pay the money. There are a lot of bad eggs out there that try to take advantage of a couple's ignorance since, yeah, most people that are planning a wedding are hopefully doing it for the first time, but, you know, and yeah, if you look at most reception venues, right, they make it appealing for couples because you're able to wrap up the cost of all of those things into just the package of being at that place. And you got all these different amenities wrapped up into one price. And I had to go back and think about it. I'm probably not even scratching the surface here, but I made just a short list of just the DIY elements of your wedding that I noticed right away. And here's what I came up with. Obviously, you rented out a summer camp, so we'll start there. You had the, I always say it wrong, artisanal pizza food truck Friday night.
Yeah.
You had breakfast burritos Saturday morning. Thank you, Jesus. Those were the lifesaver.
Yes, they were.
Which showed back up on Sunday, so I appreciated that. I was like, yes, I will take more of these. Barbecue catering for the wedding meal. Ice cream cart with the most amazing ice cream bars I've ever had. By the way, key lime pie, I'm looking at you. That was my fave.
Gourmet popsicles.
Oh, my God. Kraft cocktail bar, chicken and biscuits on Sunday morning as well with leftover breakfast burritos. There were many expenses, I'm sure, that you went, oh, but what was the one that just caught you by surprise? The thing that you weren't expecting to cost as much as it actually did?
I think it's like some things that you have to do. Like for our catering, it's like, oh, if you also want there to be water, it's like $500 for us to set this up and have that there, which we didn't end up doing because we had water out all weekend. So we had already kind of planned that.
I think you're talking about people like make sure waters are full on the tables.
Doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So just, you know, stuff that I think they know that you need. And so you kind of don't have a way around it. Mm-hmm.
The things that you get stuck with because it's just like, well, we can charge you for that because you're here.
Yeah. You know, there's always, I think, a little bit of a shock because a lot of like books written about weddings and so forth are out a little outdated. And we did get married in a very popular area to get married in. We did luckily, though, have a lot of things that I think surprised us on the opposite end of the spectrum that were not as expensive as they could have been, especially compared to the rest of the industry. The camp, compared to some other ones that I've seen, was like maybe a little more than ones up here.
Mm-hmm.
But for that area and for what we were getting,
for the length of time we were getting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got really lucky with, you know, our cake was made by a very close friend. Our officiants were very dear and near to our heart people. We had a lot of people that were a part of our wedding that were like very pleasant surprises that kind of offset those things. So we did get lucky to that end, which I think is when you're doing a do-it-yourself wedding, you kind of have to find that balance. Our flowers, the flowers we did use, because most of our flowers that were on tables were succulents that lived in our house all summer because we decided we wanted to do that to make it more sustainable. But the flowers that we did have came from a wildflower farm versus a traditional florist. So that was significantly less.
Yeah.
Which really helped fit the aesthetic we were looking for.
So there were things that, you know, kind of, oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's stuff that we kind of knew going in. We know hair and makeup's expensive. We know, you know, catering is expensive. Like we just.
Like one little thing is that we had a golf cart. Since we had the full run of the entire camp, we rented a golf cart for people to get around and kind of get shuttled around the campsite. And like something like that, which I guess I think I assumed that a golf cart would not be a cheap rental.
Sure.
It was very cheap, very affordable. Yeah. Not just say cheap, but it was very affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had it for the run of the, you know, they dropped it off midday Friday and picked it up Sunday.
Yeah. I mean,
we used that thing. Constantly. It was
Some people should not have been using that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the golf cart was in constant motion the whole weekend.
I always feel bad, especially with stuff like that, because I always look at that, especially when it's like a point A, point B thing. If I could have easily driven my car, you know, and I did, I think Friday. Yeah. When we did the rehearsal, I drove my car down there, but then Saturday I was like, nah, I'm, you're gonna take me over there. I mean, like, let's go. But I always feel bad because my opinion of that is, if you are if you are able-bodied to be able to like walk down there, sure, it was a hike, but right. I'm able, like, mm-hmm. I am physically
it's
able
a quarter to, mile I think
mm-hmm. I've got my steps in, I'm not gonna lie to you, especially going to the cabin. So I did get some steps in there, and it doesn't show. But did you all budget on the top and say, this is the number, or was it, well, let's keep track and wiggle along the way and try not to exceed this number?
Yeah, there was a lot of wiggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the whole time we knew what we wanted, and I think Lauren and I are both really good at looking into things to try to get it to be as affordable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if things get a little out of touch financially, we're like, all right, we can say bye to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're willing to not have things that we necessarily really wanted to have. Mm-hmm. If it costs too much, like mm-hmm. we're good walking away from some certain things.
You have to constantly, I think, check in with like what your core values as a couple are and what's important to you. Like, for example, we did a lot of our choosing our vendors by listening to our beer truck owner, Bryce. He has a from Jack's 47. He has a podcast that's all Asheville wedding vendors. So we, you know, we're listening to him. Great podcast. So we were listening to a lot of that. And the more we just listened to it, the more we're like, we really want this beer truck, even though it's probably like more one of the more expensive ways to have a bar in a wedding in Asheville. But we really cared about his company. We thought it was really well run. And the cost of I happened to find my dress right down the road from you at the White Dress here in Brighton during their Black Friday sale, and so I got a dress for $99.
I know. Yeah,
you heard that right, listeners.
I know.
$99 for a
Rosanna
beautiful legit mm-hmm. wedding dress.
Rosanna got her wedding dress. David's bridal was going with whatever one it was, and it was like the dress was going out of style. And same deal. Mm-hmm. It was like $99. I said, word.
Like, great.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like, take that money that maybe, because that was not important.
Yeah.
To
but
me.
Like, your, like, but your dress was how much? Like,
it was
full,
like
full
a
price.
Three grand dress normally. And so take
bucks.
That extra money and put that towards getting this
so
beer
ladies,
truck.
So, ladies, for your wedding dresses, like, pay attention to those like Black Friday sales and things like that.
Yeah.
That's the best, is when you're able to, make it move in different ways, right? So you can, because a wedding dress is what, thousands for some?
Right.
Take that, more beer, you know, like whatever, more. Yeah, just, it's perfect that way, right? You can use that somewhere else.
Well, and we were debating also jumping off the blob in what we were wearing to the wedding, and so I really didn't want to do that in a $3,000 wedding dress.
No. did I miss that? Did you jumped off the thing
We did it in the dress. We did it with like a veil.
That's boring.
Yeah, the veil.
That's
yeah,
boring. Yeah. This yeah, episode is over. we don't do boring here. So since 99% of your guests, I'm going to say that's probably a pretty good guess. Mm-hmm. You know, because pretty much almost every single guest was coming from out of town. You know, we all mostly showed up that Friday night. One of the most brilliant budget conscious things got everything kicked off. And I want you to tell everyone how you kept the crowd libated on Friday night. What did you do as we were getting there Friday? You said, come Friday, we're going to hang out. But you told us all to do what?
Bring beer. We had a beer exchange.
What was that? So, what was the idea behind that?
Because we're beer people. Mm-hmm. I may or may not work in the beer industry. We enjoy the brewery community, like the kind of the brewery life, the people that inhabit those places. That's just like that. That's our kind of folks. So yeah, we just thought it'd be fun since we had people coming from Michigan, North Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia, all over the place. You know, us being beer people, we're like, hey, like, you know, we want to try your beer. Mm-hmm. So bring something from the place that you're coming from. We're gonna have like big, like communal areas for all this beer. Mm-hmm. And we had these like these big giant tubs just outside of the hall we got married in, or the reception, and it was a huge hit. People had a really good time. I mean, beer from all over the U.S.
Yeah, we did, because I mean the day was essentially come and play in the lake. Then we have, you know, the rehearsal. Then there's going to be dinner with the pizza, karaoke, and the beer exchange. So we went ahead of time. We literally just went to like Costco and Total Wine and got wine, bubbly seltzers for people who are not beer drinkers. And then like the inspiration for the beer exchange is from, there's this big festival called Avid's at the Beach. It's usually in Mexico, and that's something that they do there. Everyone will come and bring something from their state to, mm-hmm, to share.
Yeah.
We thought it would be a fun way. So like if you didn't want to bring anything, you flew in and you couldn't, there would be something for you. Right. But that way everybody would kind of be forced, yeah, to also meet and talk.
Exactly. And, you know. I will say I was a little bit disappointed at how many people were from Michigan, because I was like, I've already seen you two hearted. I've already seen you over on. I don't need any more of that.
Yeah.
What did I have?
But yeah. I mean, but even for people that did not bring stuff in.
Of course.
You know, the Asheville area makes some of the best beer.
Yeah.
I mean, probably in the world.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. Yeah. I mean, arguably some of the best beer in the entire world.
Yeah.
Resides in Asheville. So we had a lot of that.
Yeah. I really wish I had more time on Sunday to get home. And okay, I was a little FOMO there. when you, obviously on Sunday, when you guys were moving and grooving there, and we saw some of the pictures you posted having your Sunday brunch beers there. And I was like, oh, I'm missing out. I want to try all of them. But instead over at Bucky's in Sevierville.
Well, on Thursday night, people checked into camp, because we had a lot of people come down Thursday, we had we went to Highland Brewing in Asheville and had kind of they have a really big open like meadow space. So
sure,
people got to go there.
Yeah, that was what do we call that?
It's just like a welcome
party. Yeah, like a welcome party. Yeah, at Highland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed, especially as we were kind of getting established on Friday night, I believe that everyone that was there Friday is a real friend, and you could start to see people understood the assignment.
They leaned into a theme. We
exactly,
made it a theme.
That's what I'm saying, is that everyone realized we're here.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a great weekend. So
well, Friday was dressed like you're going to your favorite music festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence well, Wedfest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, speaking of music, look at that perfect segue. Is that how it's spelled? You're both music junkies. So
yes.
I imagine finding the perfect vinyls for your seating chart was, and your table numbers was something that you obviously gave great consideration to. Your choices were brilliant. Those are the little details for me that I just look at and go, that makes complete sense. You know,
yeah.
When someone does something at a wedding, I look at it and go, that's them.
I saw a thing, not on Instagram, on Pinterest for wedding table seating charts. The idea is that you have the sleeve of a vinyl album, mm-hmm, as like the display piece. Mm-hmm. Like it's, let's say it's like an album by the Ava Brothers. So you have like the paper, the cardboard sleeve of the vinyl album with a record sticking out, kind of like a half moon type shape. Then you have actual like vinyl letters made to go on the vinyl record, like to adhere to the vinyl record to say who's at, you know, the names at whichever table are represented by that album. So yeah, so we did that. So we had a friend had like a Cricut machine to cut vinyl letters. We went to where did we get those cheap albums at?
Our friend's daughter got them when she thought she was going to make an art project out of them.
So that's right.
So of course,
rather than destroying like, you know, a vinyl album that you like we're not going to put, you know, vinyl stickering onto like the actual Avett Brothers vinyl album.
Right.
We just got like, you know, it was 16.
Oh, they were garbage. Like they were just garbage albums that garbage were all scratched up and we put them on there. And then for the.
So we had like a garbage album sticking out of like the Avett Brothers vinyl album sleeve. So, which no one even knew.
Yeah. And for the little ones we wanted, our wedding photographer was amazing. Her name is Maddie Kay, but we wanted to.
Shout out to Maddie Kay.
Maddie's the best.
I enjoyed working with Maddie. I enjoyed working with Maddie. I tried to stay out of their way. Everybody that was working the wedding just tried to stay out of their way, typically because I just don't want to be in all of your pictures.
Her photos were on the ones that we put on the tables because they were amazing, and she had done our engagement shoot, and we wanted to use those. So that's how those
anyone getting married in the Asheville area, look up Maddie Kay. Seriously, do yourself the favor. Good Lord.
So good. Oh, beautiful thing that your planner will do if they're great. She actually sent a follow-up email like the week after the wedding with like the Google like link everywhere you could review all of our vendors directly.
So
I was like, all right. Man.
I have that email. I normally send that email, but it's you guys. So I was like, oh, we're good. Yeah. And you'll get to it. It'll be fine.
I think that might be tell our, you like, though, like this week project.
It's like, it's really wild that it did take us as long as it did to get our thank yous out, which like we have busy lives. We work a lot of jobs, blah, blah, blah. But like in all honesty, with as much fun as we had at WedFest, I mean, it was an absolutely exhausting experience. Exhausting. I truly believe it took us months to just wind down from that adrenaline high for sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a daunting experience.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we did it.
I don't think most people experience that. And especially those that choose to use a venue and have everything wrapped up and not plan it on their own.
Right.
But I think that's probably a safe assumption for people that do a DIY is that, have to go back down and reset. Like,
With a wedding planner and with as good as ours was, like, I mean, Lauren especially.
Yeah,
I mean, you were wiped out. I mean, literally running on fumes.
Yeah, and I think there's something like I've read a lot about this. I was like, like post wedding blues a thing, and it's a little bit like. That's what you've been doing for months. So then you get done and then there's just this void of like, this is all I've been working on for a while. I also am a public defender. So there's just like this whole other job that is already a lot. So fitting in the time to plan our wedding was a lot. So then when it's done, there's just this blank space. But then you also kind of go into this, did I do everything right and did I do everything okay and did people have fun and did they think that like I asked too much of them, second guessing yourself. So I think it took a few weeks to finally be like, no, it's okay, people had fun, like calm down.
It was more than a few weeks. It was more than a few weeks.
More than a few weeks,
yeah,
because I think you said it, there is an adrenaline rush that just doesn't go away, and you have to.
That's almost like an adrenaline like crash afterwards.
Yeah. Was there anything as far as decor goes? Was there anything you added last minute that just kind of jumped out at you, spoke to you? You said, "Yeah, that's great. Let's include that," or was that you had everything planned out ahead of time? Or
there was some stuff. I mean, like we started early with the succulents because we wanted to be able to give them out, and that was sustainable. We knew we would want some kind of greenery along the ceiling and the lights along the ceiling. But then as we were looking for those things, we would find stuff. Like we found that I Am Loving You banner for our ceremony just when we were on Etsy looking for something
Brothers
else.
Reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The neon cheers sign we found. We did not go out looking for a neon sign. I know that's really popular these days, but we found that while we were renting some of our greenery.
Yeah.
Stuff would just pop up along the way. And I mean, like, we would go to random, like, yard sales, not looking for anything. Yeah, or thrift shops, and something would just kind of appear. So the ultimate.
Yeah, we had, I mean, we had a lot of thrift store finds just for decor for our wedding that made it super cheap, super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Bowls and glasses and all sorts of things like that. That were, I mean, super, super cheap.
Yeah.
That, like, that we didn't bring home.
Oh.
We, a lot of people just take, I mean, it cost us dollars, just like a few dollars for a lot of stuff. Like, you know, it's like glasses and bowls and things like that, that we gave away. Disco balls.
His uncle, I think, has like 15 disco balls from our wedding.
Yeah.
That's the saving grace, right? Is you have spent so much on all of this other stuff that $5 for all that? Yes. You're able to
Literally
put other things in places where you can spend more attention on something else, which is really cool. So,
yeah,
I did appreciate all of those because we took a couple of disco balls, by the way.
Yeah. And we had like a last minute thing. Was it like Lauren and I are big fans of Palo Santo, which we were talking about a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it smells amazing. So we were like, we're big fans of burning it at home. So we had that be part of our wedding because we really like that stuff. So we had like these little Palo Santo sticks that we tied to the silverware. It's just via twine. And it was a big hit. People took it home. People were lighting it at like during the wedding or during the reception.
Well, and we all, we had the merch booth rather than just like doing favors because it is festival themed. So like we knew we wanted sunglasses.
Flash tats.
We knew we wanted like the little flash tattoos, but then we found,
which apparently took days and days to come off.
Well, people shouldn't put them on their faces.
Right, they work.
but like the glow sticks and you know, we would find the matchbooks. Like we would find things kind of as we go.
Good. There were some personal touches. There were a few of them that you included that I really appreciated. Just having seen many of them over the years, the save the date fridge magnet ticket stub was my absolute favorite. It goes away from the conventional just here's a piece of paper to hang on the fridge.
Another Pinterest spot.
As I'm sitting here, I'm looking on my it is a soda fridge, not unlike Tommy Boy where you can put beer soda in it. It is truly a soda fridge. But yeah, the
beer fridge, Brett.
It is a beer fridge now. The ticket stub, the musical festival posters for cabin assignments, I thought was awesome for people staying at the camp. And then,
People say like the Lollapalooza cabin, the Railbird cabin, and things like that.
That was awesome. Yeah. Which again is as easy as just printing it out, right? I mean, that was pretty cool.
Lots of Canva.
And then
a lot of Canva.
Hey, go to Canva, kids. Canva. Get your Instagram stories. And
I use Canva almost daily.
Yeah,
almost daily.
All the creative stuff, and then of course the beer boy to pass out beers.
TJ
during the ceremony. TJ's flair, his style. This man is an absolute legend. Protect this man at all costs.
He's a treasure. He's a treasure.
Yeah. Two people we need to protect: Carol Burnett and TJ. those are the ones.
It's basically our wedding mascot walking around.
Our wedding mascot.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, you know, because let's go away from this whole wedding weekend was absolutely unconventional in the best possible way. It is not stuffy. It is not. It's not one of those where it's oh no. You know, think something goes wrong and everyone's just turning their heads. I mean, yeah, there were some things that happened. So what? Ice machine doesn't work.
Yeah.
We made it work, right? Just to break that tension during a ceremony, which for the two of you was literally the start of that celebration on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which really the celebration started Friday. Let's get real.
It did. For sure.
But who has a beer boy? You too. And I think
and that, like, for those of you that, that don't know what a beer boy is, just do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type in beer boy, hit beer enter bearer. And or beer bearer, beer boy. Bring that up, watch some videos, and just have some fun.
Kevlar vest full of beers, I think, is the deal. And he tosses them around at the crowd.
Yeah,
and I think that was cool, too. I mean, normally, and I'll be very candid, like, I really do, almost every wedding that I do, I try to approach it as a true professional. Not to say that I wasn't professional for your weekend. I definitely...
Dude, you are a consummate professional. Seriously.
Please stop.
I'm not just saying... I'm seriously... They're like, we're boys.
I know.
I love you, dude. I know. And I'm not just saying that to be on your podcast or whatever. Like, you are a consummate professional. You truly are.
I say all that to say that I didn't feel that... It's not like we had to turn it up to 11 and be professional. And I knew that there was a certain air of things that I knew I had to do because that's what I do. But
you know how to read a room.
I know. But for the really, ultimately, it comes down to, you know, I was drinking a beer at your ceremony.
So did I.
Well, I know we all, but that's what I'm saying is we all were, right? We were all, I took a 200 down to the ceremony, got set up, we're ready to go. So anything you can do to make, especially with a DIY, to make it your own and just put your own personal touch on it, like the beer boy or whatever else, that's what you got to do, I think, to really personalize it and make it yours.
Yeah. Like we literally cracked beers during the ceremony.
Yeah.
But that's just not something you ever see.
Oh, no.
You know, the groom drinking a beer during the wedding.
No, I appreciate it. I've seen it.
Do things your own way, kids.
I know. I've seen a couple where it's, you know, ladies and gentlemen, first time, and then the second they reach the end of the aisle, someone's got a beer for them. That's about the most I've seen.
Right.
As we kind of round the corner on the end of this conversation, I guess from a DIY wedding standpoint, what would be one thing you would change to make it more cost effective, where you're not necessarily, where you're able to take money and put it somewhere else. Was there something that was left out that maybe you could have done differently? What do you think?
I think anytime you're doing a do-it-yourself, just generally, I think there is a balance between, is this more cost effective for me to pay someone to do this?
Right.
Or is it more cost effective for me to take the hours for me to do this myself? And there were some things that I, you know, rather than the time and energy that it took for us to take away from our Friday to like put all the lights up ourselves and have our friends do that, I probably would go back and just like pay someone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though that actually would have been a cost,
mm-hmm.
the back end of that and what it took of our own time mm-hmm. and our friends' time, I would have just paid that. So I mm-hmm. think just generally looking at that, what do those things actually cost you in time versus energy is important. And then, right. I mean, like, we had a lot of extras. Like, we came back with way too many cups and plates and stuff. So just,
crickets,
you know. Yeah. So just knowing the exact amount of people you're going to have and not kind of overdoing everything. Because we just went into this kind of making sure people were as comfortable as we could be. But that does mean that we bought way too many of a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, really sticking to the number, I think, would be important.
Generally, when it comes to planning a DIY wedding, I mean, I get that if you want to, you know, as we talk about the cost part of it, sticking to the number, buying only what you need. But generally, what's the biggest takeaway for you as far as planning a DIY wedding? What's the one piece of advice you would give another couple planning a DIY wedding?
Just make sure you do it your way.
Yeah.
Your way.
Yeah.
Not anyone else's way. Like, stick to your values. Do it the way that you truly want your wedding, not anyone else. Doesn't matter who anyone else is,
mm-hmm.
family, friends, whatever. Do it your way. Period.
Yeah, I agree. I have a very serious conversation as a couple about what your actual values are with your wedding, whether that is supporting locally, sustainability, involving our friends, which was what ours were. But whatever is important to you, make that the most important thing. That's going to be different for every single person. But when you're having to kind of narrow it down and figure out what your vision actually looks like, if it doesn't fit those values, if it, you know, is just kind of extra on top, then it can go. because mm-hmm. as long as you're doing what's most important to you, then at the end of the day, if you walked away married and those things were met, then the rest of it doesn't really matter. So stick with those and be intentional about having those conversations.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, be intentional about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From your food to your invitations, like every single person that we had that joined us in North Carolina, like they were invited with every single intention.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to anyone that invites people that, you know, that you might not be all that close to. You do you. Mm-hmm. I mean, all means, you know, if it feels right for you to invite your aunt you haven't talked to in 20 years, like that's cool.
Great mm-hmm. aunt, three times removed. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, cool. Yeah,
like you do you. Like, you know, have fun with that. But we chose to not do that. Like I said, every single person that was there with us was there with the utmost intention, because they were just our people. We love them and we wanted them there. Cool. And like, not we're not saying that we don't love the people that weren't there. You know what I mean? It's not like that at all. But yeah, those that joined us, they play very, very large roles in our lives.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that my friend here happens to be one of the, he is the greatest trivia host in all of Metro Detroit.
Except for Robert. Robert's better than me.
No, I don't know about it. I am part and partial to one Mr. JR, JT, Jonathan, John, whatever you want to call him. Tell him where you're at. He does trivia, by the way. Where are you?
I host Pub Quiz Trivia by Sporkle twice a week in Plymouth, Michigan. Monday nights at Herman's Old Town Grill, 8 p.m. Tuesdays next door to Herman's Bearded Lamb Brewing Company every Tuesday at 7:30.
I absolutely love the two of you, Lauren.
And the two of us love you.
And John and Brett. It's not the I in love and you, but it works and still accomplishes everything. Thank you for coming to my abode.
Thanks for having us on, man. This is fun. It was a really good time. You did a great, dude. You did a phenomenal job.
I know.
I know.